put that last lyric up on the screen, what we were just singing? I will build my life upon your love. That's the love of Christ. It is a firm foundation. I will put my trust in you alone. And then the line that stood out to me was, I will not be shaken. And this has been a strange week on so many levels. Just our entire world seems as if it is in upheaval. And the word that kept kind of bouncing around in my head this weekend was uncertainty. Uncertainty. This sense of uncertainty, and I can sense it even in this room today. Like, what is happening? What are we witnessing? What have these last couple of years even been? And it is very alarming. It is very confusing. But yet, we're called to build our life upon the foundation that is Christ. And life is uncertain, but the certainty, the only certainty we have and the only hope that we have is in Christ, that we can stand on that foundation that is built in Him and not be shaken. It doesn't mean we won't be concerned. It doesn't mean we'll never experience fear or doubt or wrestle with things, but the certainty is in Him. And though our bodies may be shaken, our soul can stand firmly and securely on the foundation that is built on Christ. And this is going to be kind of a different Sunday today. We're going to do a couple different types of things. I wrestled with the Lord all week on just our message for this week, and I've actually never had such a difficult time preparing a message as I did this last week. But I'm seeing why that is, because there's a lot going on around us. And so we're going to just kind of focus our time today in prayer, in testimony, in encouragement. I'll have a short encouraging word for you as well as we go through some of the things we're going to do today as a church family. And we're also going to celebrate and close out this time with baptism, because what a better way to celebrate and to declare and to wave a flag of victory that we have, through Christ, defeated Satan, sin, hell, and death. And as we go under the water in baptism, it represents death to the old ways of the world, to the old ways of the devil, to the old ways of our flesh, just as Jesus died and was buried. And as we raise up out of the water, just as Christ rose from the grave, it represents us coming into new, free life in Christ. It is an outward declaration and expression of the foundation that we stand on that can't be shaken. And so this is a wonderful day to celebrate baptism. And so we're going to do that as we close the service as well. What I'm going to do now, one of the things a little unique we're going to do, is I'm going to ask my wife to join me and our good friends, Julia and Abraham Laris, if you could come join us on the stage as well. We're going to just spend some time in prayer today for Ukraine. I know that all week long people have been asking me about this, and people saying how they can help, how they can pray. And Julia is our good friend. She was a neighbor for years until we left her. And she was born in Ukraine. Her family, many of them are still in Ukraine. You have aunts and uncles and cousins, and grandma is there. And I'd asked her if she wanted to share, and she had asked her family, you know, what can we do? And you know, do you guys need money? And they said, in their circumstance, that, you know, money is not really something that can help right now. They just need lots and lots and lots of prayer. And one thing I've thought about all week is it's arrogant of us to think that something like that could never happen here. We are all God's creation, human beings, men and women created in God's image. All of us face uncertainty and evil in the world. And so when one member of the world suffers, we all ought to suffer. And there's been things going on for decades, and this is a big deal. This is a big thing, and this is something that is evil. We don't understand. We don't have all the answers to our questions, but But what we'd like to do today is just lay hands on the Laris family as a kind of standing in for Ukraine. I asked her if we could do this today as we pray for Ukraine today, pray for the peace of the world, pray for the peace and deliverance of Julia's family and millions of other families. I know, talked to some friends here that are here today who some of their best friends are in Ukraine running an orphanage for disabled children. And my friend Sam was sharing with me, they have nearly 60 people kind of gathered in their house right now as they are to trying to stay safe. And there's some financial needs there that I did hear about to feed those in this house. And so what we'll do today is put a link on our social media accounts of how you can give to the home that houses some of these disabled children and many dozens of people from their community that they are busy protecting right now. And so this is one of these situations where we all are kind of wringing our hands and saying, what can we do? And this is one of the times where it's literally pray. We pray and ask God to intervene, and we can learn a lot from the Ukrainian people and their boldness and their bravery and their courage. The country is filled with believers, and so we need to stand with brothers and sisters in Christ today and pray. So would you stand with me? And if you are an elder here at Fellowship Church, if you're one of our assistant pastors, if you could just come and join me up on stage and lay hands on this family as we pray, as they stand in for the Ukraine today. Extend your hands this way, church. Let's just begin to cry out to God and pray. God, we don't know all the ins and outs and what's taking place in the world today, but you do. Lord, you told us in this world there would be tribulation, but told us to take heart that you had overcome the world. And so, God, one thing you've reminded me of all week is that if it has flesh and blood, it's not our enemy. Your word, God, declares that we battle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and spiritual forces of darkness in heavenly places. And so, God, even flesh and bone and human beings who are attacking innocent people, they're being manipulated and used by the enemy right now. So, God, we stand on the foundation that is found in your name, Jesus, and we ask in Jesus' name, and we command the enemy in Jesus' name to flee, to rid the hearts of people who have given in to evil to attack the innocent. Jesus, we pray that you would rescue people who are hurting and who are taking cover today. Lord, we pray for friends and family, God, that Julia represents today, for the people, the citizens of Ukraine that are represented, God, that they would find safety, that they would find hope in you, and that their foundations would not be shaken because their foundations are in you. God, one thing that I long for and hunger for is a miracle to take place, God, that the world would look and see that only you could have done such a thing. And so, God, I pray for such a miracle, God. It's amazing to watch people fight back and stand up for their own freedom. But, God, how wonderful it is to see you and your hand work an absolute miracle. So, God, we're praying for a miracle. We're praying for deliverance. We're praying, God, that you would receive all glory, that you would receive all praise, and that the world would see, just as the world saw as you delivered Israel from Egypt, the world would see that God, that you are God Most High, that you are Creator, that you are Savior, that you are Rescuer, God. And so, God, we pray for your will to be done on this earth. We pray for your will to be done in Russia. We pray for your will to be done in Ukraine. We pray for your will to be done on all these nations that made up the previous Soviet Union. God, we pray that your kingdom would come, God, that people that represent your kingdom would stand in the gap and pray, Lord Jesus. I pray that your Holy Spirit would move across the people of Slavic regions in our world, God, and bring them peace and bring them love. I pray, God, for you to work on the hearts of Russian soldiers who are doing things that they don't even want to do, God, that you would give them the ability and the just the conviction, God, and the love and the grace to lay down their weapons, God. I ask in Jesus' name, God, work a miracle and let us see the miracle and let us declare that it came from you, God, that people would see your good works and give glory to you, God, not because of anything people have done, but because what you have done and are doing. So God, pray for just a peace over Julia's family. God, for our friends Sam and Angie here today who have their friends in Ukraine, that you give them a peace, and each person that they are housing, hosting in their homes, that they would be protected, God, that they would be cared for by a special move of your Spirit, and they'd be provided for, God. God, every resource that's needed, I pray that you would provide, God. It all comes from you. Lord, we just trust you. When we don't know what to pray, we will pray in the Spirit. We will pray in your name. We will pray the scriptures over this situation. So God, your will be done in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right. Thank you, guys. Have a seat. I'm going to, like I said, it's kind of a different Sunday. Casey and Paula and I were talking before. We're like, wow, there's just a lot going on, and there really is. But we need to stop, pause, and take time for what is going on. Ladina is transitioned to lead our youth group and serves as an assistant pastor here, and she brought a group of high schoolers to the One Conference in Portland this last weekend, and got to hear some amazing testimonies of some things that God did in the life of our youth. And so this morning and then tonight we're going to have quite a few youth share, but Ladina is going to share, and I think she has someone that's going to come up and share from our youth group as well. So,
yeah. First, before I share, the One Conference is amazing. I just want to give a little bit of what, so you guys understand where we're at. We were at Manna House in Portland on Fremont Street, pretty rough part of town, but there was literally thousands and thousands of students there. And before I get into it a little bit, I just want honor where honor is due. I have some of the most amazing leaders working with me. They're here this morning. They were stepped on. They slept on a hallway. We slept on hard floors. We didn't have showers. It was amazing. And but I just want to honor Caleb Oakleberry, who's serving his guts out right now downstairs, and kids, and Nick McQuaid, who they're both interns, but they're also both small group leaders. Can we just give them a hand and just honor them? They served their guts out. They were always smiling, making me laugh, making fun of me, so it was great. But no, I'm so honored to be a part of this team. And God did some really amazing things in our youth today, or not today, this weekend. I'm tired. We've had like 7 hours of sleep in 3 days. But I'm excited. One of our youth students, Piper, is going to come share something just so that God kind of solidified in her heart. And so would you guys give her a hand as she comes up here and just kind of shares?
So on our way back, Ladina messaged us, what did God do for us? What did he show us? And the most thing that stood out to me was what was read on the first night was Isaiah 6:8. Let me open that in my Bible real fast. Sorry. Thank you. Then I heard the Lord ask, whom should I send as a messenger to this people? Who will go for us? And I said, here I am. Send me. That last part, here I am, send me, that stood out to me so much, and I think it's because God wants me to share my story and share what's happened in my past and all the changes that I've gone through, because there is change in everything, in your friends, in your family, in the place you live, in your church. But the one thing that's constant is God. The one thing that's always the same is God. And I just... sorry. That's what I'm going to do with my life. I'm going to share his word. I'm going to share my testimony all around the world. And I believe that's what God wants for me.
So that's pretty awesome. One of the nights, God just led me to pray over some of our students. And the one thing God just I kept praying over Piper was just authenticity, and God is calling her. I know that. We got a shadow of a doubt, and God has called her to be a leader, to be set apart, to share his word, and so it's super awesome that God did that for her. I'm going to share with you guys a little something that's been on my heart, well, because of, you know, yesterday, but as Anthony said, I'm stepping into this role of youth pastor again. Many of you may not know that I was youth pastor almost like 7-9 years ago, long time ago. And so when God called me again, I was so unsure what I was doing. I'd been the pastor of operations for 7 years. God kind of took me out of youth ministry. I was to another stage in my life. I was focusing on my family. I was being what God had called me to be in that moment. Many times I would go to Anthony. I'm like, Anthony, I just feel like something's missing. I'm not doing something. I feel like I'm not doing what God's called me to do. And he's like, you're in ministry. What you're doing right now is ministry. You're doing what God's called you to do. And he just kept encouraging me, and so honored to be working under Anthony. Just his encouragement has been so amazing through this whole process. And then it was kind of a full circle moment. 9 years ago, I took a group of students to the One Conference, and being there again was just this like moment where God was like, I took you out for a season because I needed to grow something inside of you. I needed to grow you up a little bit. I needed to work some things out, but your calling was never taken away. Your calling was never placed on it was just set aside for a second. And so I just want to encourage you guys today. God just really put this on my heart to share with you, because there's a lot of us who have given up what God's called us to do, or we have stepped aside what God's called us to do, or maybe we've had something happen in our lives that we've maybe fallen a little bit, and so we feel like we're not worthy and our calling has been revoked. But I'm here to say that God won't revoke that. Like, we maybe need to work some steps out to do what God's called us to do to get back in the game. But I want to encourage you to work the steps out. Get back in the game, because God does have a purpose and a calling for all of us. And so would you guys just be encouraged today and ask God, God, am I doing what you've called me to do? Am I walking in the calling in my life? Because he has a plan for each of us. And so I'm just going to pray over us this morning, and then Anthony's going to share the word. God, thank you so much for who you are. God, thank you for calling us. Thank you for setting us apart, God. And I just, that verse in my, just kept coming to my mind, is that when Joseph was saying that his brothers in Genesis, where he's like, what you guys meant for evil, God meant it for good. And so God, if there's people in here today that were taken out of what you've called them to do because of something that maybe they did, or just the enemy, or just tiredness or exhaustion or whatever it is, God, would you just remind them that you're going to turn it for good? And God, I pray for those who have maybe sat down because they're tired or weary. Would you just light that fire, God? Would you light that fire under them? Would you remind them of what you've called them to do, God? Because there's nothing like walking in what we're called to do. In Jesus' name, amen.
Okay, here's a short word of encouragement. Jeremiah 17:9. God speaking through the prophet Jeremiah, and I'll paraphrase. It says essentially, the heart is desperately sick. The heart is wicked. Who can understand their own heart? Who can trust their own heart? And heart is an interesting phrase, because in the Western world and in English, when we talk about the heart, we often talk about it as what it is. It's an organ that pumps our blood. And I would say the heart is pretty important. But in a Jewish sense, in the ancient Near East, this idea of the heart, we still carry some today. It's the heart is the seat of human emotion. In a biblical term, the heart is kind of like your spirit and your soul working in conjunction of who you really are. And so when Scripture says that the heart is deceptive, it's desperately sick, that's not hyper-encouraging. Like, our culture today tells us, listen to your heart. And we've got love songs about it, listen to your heart. But how many of you have ever found yourself in deep trouble when you listen to your heart? You know, like there that seventh grade girl that you had a crush on when you were in seventh grade, that guy in your class when you were a fellow classmate, you're like, your heart told you, like, this is the person I'm going to marry, right? Like, you have these experiences where you're like, oh, I know that this person is the one, or I've been wronged by my boss because I was late, and she chastised me for being late, and she has hurt my heart. We listen to our heart, and our heart tells us truths about how we're experiencing things, about how we're feeling things. And so our emotions come out of our heart, and emotions are just energy within our relationships. So different relationship issues or struggles we have, past relationships that cause trauma, current relationships, It's all the energy from the relationship coming out of our heart, and we kind of just take it out on the world, and then we see our world through the lens of what our heart tells us we should think or how we should feel. And listening to your heart like that gets you into trouble. So this idea of listening to your heart, it's going to deceive you. It's going to lead you to sickness, but yet at the same time, we do need to be aware of what our heart's saying. Scripture also says that out of the abundance of the heart, it says the mouth speaks. And so how many of you have ever said something you wish you didn't say? And oftentimes, we'll say things and it'll come out of our mouth, and it's not until the other person is either crying in front of us or yelling back at us that we'll realize, like, whoa, I didn't mean to say that. And sometimes we'll make this kind of dumb comment. We'll say, I didn't mean that. And a few times, if I'm feeling kind of spicy, if someone ever says it, I'll be like, but the Bible says out of the abundance of your heart, your mouth speaks, and so you did mean it. Theological arguments aren't good in times like that. But there is something there. We do say things that we shouldn't say. We say things that sometimes the words just come out because we're projecting stuff that we have beef or issue with other people. And what we do is we take out the issues we have on other people on those who are closest to us. That's why marriage is so hard. Marriage is essentially looking in a mirror and seeing all your faults through the eyes of someone else and getting mad at yourself for what you see, and so you take it out on the mirror, which is actually the person in front of you. It's complicated. The heart is desperately sick. And so, at the same time, what is your heart saying? And this week, I could even sense it when I came into the room, and every interaction I've had this week is people saying, do you know what's happening in Ukraine? Do you know what's happening in Europe? What does this mean? And then we're even confused because it's like COVID doesn't exist anymore. It's like, wow, what changed? Is there like a magic date on March 19th where everything's just going to go away? And so everybody's just this tension of like, what's going on? And that's good. That's our heart. We have to actually stop and sense. And so our heart is telling us about Ukraine. It's just like, oh, we feel burden for these people. We feel burden for people that could be us. We feel burden for the state of our world where we've been the last 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 years have just been craziness globally. So we each experience something in our heart about that. And I would encourage you, 1 John chapter 1. 1 John chapter 1, John is talking about being in the light as Jesus is in the light. And this idea of being in the light, it's an idea of being transparent. It's an idea of being vulnerable. It's an idea of sharing the things that are going on in our hearts with others and exposing, because what's in our heart is sick, it is deceitful, it's wicked. We do need to expose it to others in the light. Now, our culture tells us, and even Ladina was just talking about her prayer over Piper, there's this fine line between being authentic and being vulnerable, because in the world's definition of being authentic, it's basically just like, I'm just going to be real. I'm just going to tell you like it is. This is just me. That's authenticity. And so if you tick me off, I'm going to tell you off. If you frustrate me, I'm going to tell the whole world about how horrible of a person you are. That, if we're not careful, that's what authenticity is. Just keeping it real, just being me. But the scriptures don't call us to keep it real or to just be me. The scripture calls us to have me make sacrifices for other people. Me be aware of other people's hearts. Me be concerned about how my actions affect other people and my words affect their heart when my words hit them. And so authenticity is not the ultimate goal. It's really this vulnerability, sharing what's going on in our hearts with the purpose of seeking healing for what's going on in our hearts with respect to others and hoping that they'll find healing from those things too. And so as someone is sharing something from their heart, for you to bring something out into the light from yours and say, oh, I struggle with XYZ also. And sometimes we hide behind religion. We like to say we hide behind our Christianity, but it's really religion. And we will say things like, well, thanks be to the glory of God in Jesus' name. I don't struggle with that any longer. I am set free, and I am arrogant, is what you are. We don't have to go around with a flag that we wave saying, our identity is in our struggle, our identity is in our sin, our identity is in just being me, our identity is in our authenticity, but we do need to go around with kind of like a white flag of humility, of surrender before God, of surrender before others, that, yeah, this is my struggle. I'm forgiven. There's no condemnation for those who are in Christ, and that even applies to me, but I am still flesh. I am still working out this salvation with fear and trembling. God is still changing me. The Holy Spirit is still sanctifying me. And you and I, we're the same. We're the same. And so that's what vulnerability is sharing. And one of the tricky things about vulnerability, because your heart's deceptive, is you don't know who you can be vulnerable with. And being vulnerable does take sacrifice. It takes risk, because sometimes you'll be vulnerable with other people and they'll take what you've been vulnerable about and they'll be authentic about it and they'll hurt you with it. And so trust who you share things with, but also be so confident in the Lord that you can share your story. You can share your testimony. You can share your struggles. You can expose those things to the light. And when you expose dark things to the true light, Peter calls it in 1 Peter, I think chapter 2, he calls what we've been brought into in Christ marvelous light. So when we expose dark things, hidden things, struggle things, temptation things, trauma things, when we expose those to the marvelous light of Christ, dark things scatter in the light. And we sing that song here pretty often, as you know, Jesus, Jesus, you make the darkness tremble. It's true. Speaking the name of Jesus, bringing that marvelous light, shining a light on things that dwell in darkness causes those things to scatter. And so by the time you get to verse 9 of 1 John chapter 1, John tells us this. He says, if we confess our sins, he, that's Jesus, the one who is in the light, he is faithful and he is just to forgive us our sins. And I'll stop there for a minute. Most Christians have that down. We have down this idea. Yeah, I confess my sins to Jesus. I put my trust in Jesus, who has lived and died and rose again for my forgiveness, for his Spirit living within me, for new life of freedom in him, for heaven even. And so, yes, I've confessed, and I'm forgiven. And amen for that. I believe that with all my heart, even though the heart's deceptive. But so many Christians who are forgiven are walking around with their hearts uncleansed. And to some level, all of us are. Our hearts are forgiven, but because we're still in this state of flesh that we're in, it's not where it should be. The scriptures say it's from glory to glory, from sanctifying moment to sanctifying moment. God is making us more and more like him. One day, as I stand before Christ in a resurrected body in a new heaven and a new earth, then my heart will be in sync with my Creator as it was meant to be. But Christians now living with breath and with physical hearts beating, we've got to remember the rest of the verse where it says, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Cleansing happens through confession. If you look at that verse in context in 1 John chapter 1, cleansing happens when you expose dark things to the light. And you will never experience cleansing if you never confess. You might say, well, Pastor, I grew up in a Catholic or an Orthodox background. Does that mean do I need to confess my sins to you as my pastor? Please do not do that. Please, so many do that. It's like, I don't need to know. If you want to share, that's fine, but I can't do anything for your sin. I can just simply help you bring it to the light. So you know, you don't have to confess to a priest or a pastor. That's not how we find forgiveness. We find forgiveness through the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus only. That's it. But when we confess our sins to brothers and sisters in Christ, when we bear each other's burdens and fulfill the law of Christ, when we cast our cares together on Jesus because he cares for us, we find cleansing in that. And so when you've got this dark secret struggle or sin or temptation and you feel like, oh, I'm the only one who feels this way, I'm a freak, I'm weird, I'm probably going to jail just for even thinking of this thing, I need to do whatever I can to keep that locked up in my heart. And if I can keep it to myself a little bit longer, and if I can hold it in the dark a little more, then it will get rid of itself. It's not how it works, though, is it? Things grow in the dark. Your struggle grows in the dark. And if you have ever been turned away, shunned, or judged by a fellow Christian who you have trusted and confessed to, and they have looked at you as if you were lesser than them, that is not the Spirit of God. That is not grace. That is not loving. There is no hope. They might look surprised. They might look shocked. And those are real, natural human heart reactions. But when a brother or sister in Christ brings the darkness of their heart to you, a fellow heart darkness-er, they ought to say, we ought to say, thank you for sharing. How can I help? How can I serve? How can I fight for you? How can I fight with you against this battle? How can we bring this thing to God together? How can we get to a place where you're not celebrating the darkness? How can we get to a place where you're not hiding the darkness, but to a place where you're vulnerable about the darkness and declare the light of Jesus over that which you've been hiding, which is growing and will one day just pop. And when it pops, it's bad. Many of us wait until it pops to confess. I'd encourage myself and you to confess before it pops. Do you follow that? It sounds like a weird statement, but let that be today's statement. Confess before it pops. And if you can confess before it pops, you'll be cleansed. You'll find cleansing, and you're going to be cleansed and cleansed. And you say, well, will I not struggle with that thing anymore? That's not what Scripture says. It's just we get cleansed from it. We can walk without condemnation. We can walk with peace. Sometimes God miraculously takes away sin, temptation, evil in us. But typically, when he's done that in my life, I find something new to struggle with. And I need that all over again. And I think God allows it because we need to be reminded that we're not all that when he is. And we need to depend on him and him alone. And here's the verse I want to share that brings this all home. And it is Proverbs chapter 3, verses 5 and 6. In this, likely Solomon, he writes, trust the Lord. Trust the Lord. Piece of cake, right? Trust the Lord. Can't pay rent this month? Trust the Lord. Can't make your car payment? Trust the Lord. Marriage falling apart? Oh, brother, I'm just trusting the Lord. But what are you doing while you're trusting the Lord? Oftentimes, people that say, I'm just trusting the Lord, that's lip service. Where's their heart in that? Which brings us to the next point. Trust the Lord with all your heart. But doesn't the Bible, didn't we just spend 15 minutes talking about how we shouldn't trust our heart? How the heart is deceitful, wicked, desperately sick? Yeah, we did. That's what the Bible says. That's why we have to trust the Lord with our heart. That's why we have to remember sometimes our feelings, our emotions are telling us things that we need to be aware of, but we ought not to obey or trust or follow our emotions because they're just that. They're just emotions. It's just a gauge of what's going on around us. And if you followed your emotions every time you had an emotion, we'd all be in prison today. So trust the Lord with all your heart. That's really hard. I like to wear a t-shirt that says, I've got faith. You know, faith that, oh, I just look at his faith, look at her faith, and my faith brings me all this, and I want to thank my faith today for this. You can't thank your faith, you can thank Jesus. Faith means nothing if faith is not placed in the right direction. Trust the Lord with all your heart. The rest of that verse says, and, in case you didn't hear it the first time, lean not on your own understanding. What that means that not only should I not trust my heart, that means that sometimes I can't trust my logic. The gospel is not logical. I don't know if you've figured that out yet. Our Western mind tells us everything has to be logical. There's nothing logical about my Creator taking on flesh and dying because of my mistakes for me so that I could be forgiven and given life. That's not logical. You could try to reason and logic how salvation works or why God has to do it, but he didn't have to do it. There's nothing logical about that. There's nothing logical about giving God your first and your best, actually giving stuff away and then getting something from it. That's not logical. Trust the Lord with all your heart. Don't lean on your own understanding. I've had so many people ask me, like, explain to me the war in Ukraine. I'm like, I'm not a historian. I'm not a policy. I don't know. And even if I thought I knew, I can't lean on my own understanding. Because if you really stopped and think about it, there's nothing logical about it. There's nothing logical about forces of evil invading and attacking innocent people. There's nothing logical about that. So trust the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding. Not even your own mind can comprehend what God's doing. Okay, heart, don't listen to it completely. Don't listen to my mind. Trust the Lord. And then the ante gets upped another time. In all your ways, acknowledge him. In all your ways, your heart ways, your understanding ways, your ways, in all your ways, acknowledge him. What ways do you need to acknowledge the Lord this week? Your time, your energy, your health, your body, your sexuality, your relationships, your marriage, your parenting, your family relationships, your taxes, that's coming up. Your job, your school, your sports, in all your ways, acknowledge him. Acknowledge him in this. In all your ways, acknowledge him. So think about that. Everything you do this week, remind yourself, I'm going to trust the Lord in this. I'm going to trust him with my heart, my emotions. I'm going to trust him with my understanding. And in all my ways, I'm going to acknowledge him. God, how can I acknowledge you on Instagram today? How can I acknowledge you when I'm sitting in the lunchroom? How can I acknowledge you this week while I'm commuting to work? How can I acknowledge you as I'm watching the news unfold and I don't know how to respond? But in all my ways, acknowledge you. And then the scriptures say, and God will make straight your path. And if we read that wrong, we could think, and then our directions in front of us will be abundantly clear. We'll know exactly where we're going. But that's not how this works. Trust the Lord with all your heart. I don't know where it's going. Lean not on my own understanding. I don't know where I'm going. In all my ways, acknowledge him. Yes, and he will make straight my path. God, where are we going? I'm not telling you yet. God, are we there yet? You'll have to wait and see. That's what your life with Jesus is like. You don't know where you're going. You didn't know 3 years ago that we would be where we are today. And if we knew, I think we'd lose a lot of faith. But God wants us to trust him with all of our heart. And it's kind of fun to not know where you're going. Because trusting the Lord with all your heart and not leaning on your own understanding, what you're actually doing is you're giving him the keys and saying, you drive. And I'll just sit and spend time with you as you drive. And when you tell me to go, I'll go. When you tell me to be sent, I'll be sent, like Piper said. When you tell me to speak, like Piper said, I'll speak. When you tell me to worship, I'll worship. When you tell me to be obedient, I'll be obedient. But God, we're just along for this ride, and so I do trust you with my heart, mind, soul, and strength. That's how I love you. And I know that you'll make straight my path. And the idea ends in verse 6. Says, don't be wise in your own eyes. Don't be arrogant. Don't think you've got it all together. Don't point out a sliver in your neighbor's eye when you've got a log in your own. Don't be wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord. Tremble in reverence, in awe, and respect before the Lord. That's what we're going to talk about next week. What does it mean to reverence and be in awe of the Lord, to be in fear of a God who is holy when we are not holy? How do we handle that? Don't be wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord. Fear the Lord. A healthy fear of the Lord is what we've said several times today. Ukraine could be us. That's a way to fear the Lord. God, we're nobody. Anything can happen. So we trust you. We trust you with our heart. Fear the Lord. Turn from evil. If you want to trust God with your heart, if you don't want to lean on your own understanding, if you want to, in all your ways, acknowledge the Lord, you need to turn from evil. Some of you are facing evil. Some of you are in alignment with evil. Some of you are holding hands with evil and expecting to trust your heart with God. You can't trust your heart with God with your other hands holding onto evil. Turn from evil. You can't not lean on your own understanding when you're going in the same direction as our spiritual enemy, the devil. You can't acknowledge God in all your ways when you're going the opposite way of God. And so part of this whole idea of exposing the darkness to the light of Jesus means that you and I have to make conscious decisions to turn from evil. So I ask myself this week, you need to ask yourself, is there any evil I'm supporting? Is there any evil I'm perpetuating? Is there any evil that I am enabling? Is there any evil I'm celebrating or turning a blind eye to? Because Scripture tells me, turn from evil. Jesus says, when you pray, pray like this, deliver us from evil. Scripture tells us when we walk through the valley of the shadow of death, it was a theme at the One Conference this weekend, I will fear no evil. So turn from evil. And the promise is this, it will be healing to your body and refreshment to your bones. Let's just call that joy. Healing to your body and refreshment to your bones. Let's call that joy. When we do these things, when we turn from evil, when we trust God with our heart, when we don't lean on our understanding, when we acknowledge Him in all of our ways, I believe that's where we experience joy and healing for our bodies. Some of us walk around with illness because of the evil we carry. Some of us walk around in perpetual illness because of the fact we're not trusting God in our heart. That doesn't mean that's why you're sick. It doesn't mean that's why you're in pain or whatever. But sometimes it makes things a lot worse. And our body's just responding to our heart and to our head and to the ways that we walk in. So I want to just invite you to take about maybe like a 30 seconds to a minute of silence. I'm going to invite Casey to come up and close us with some songs. And we're going to celebrate baptism today. But I'd like you to just kind of sit here under the Word of God. When I say under the Word of God, meaning meditating, thinking on what we just talked about. The heart is deceitful. It's wicked. It's desperately sick. Who can trust it? Out of the abundance of our hearts, our mouths speak. Yet, with our heart, we need to confess. And if we confess our sins, if we confess our struggles, if we confess our evil, if we confess our temptation, if we confess our trauma, our drama, whatever it is, if we confess that, God is faithful. He'll receive you with grace and mercy. He is just to forgive you of your sin. That's in Christ. And cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And when we do that, when we bring those things before brothers and sisters and before the Lord himself, it is there where we trust the Lord with all our heart. Lean not on our own understanding. Acknowledge that in all our ways, when we do acknowledge him, he'll make our path straight. He'll know where we're going. And we turn from evil. And when we do these things, when we are not wise in our own eyes, it'll be healing to our body. It'll be refreshment to our bones. With your heads bowed and your eyes closed, with no one looking around, just for the sake of distraction, if you'd say, Pastor, today I don't know Jesus. I'm not even to the point of confessing to others to receive cleansing because I've never confessed or acknowledged my sins before God. God wants to cleanse and forgive you of your sins. The Bible says about Jesus, God made him, that's Jesus, who knew no sin, to become sin. So the sinless Son of God, Jesus Christ, became my sin, so that in Jesus we might become the righteousness of God. God is inviting you today to an exchange, an irrational trade, an unlogical trade. My sin for his righteousness doesn't make sense. But as he takes my sin, and as I trust that he indeed has taken it and its punishment, then he gives to me his righteousness. So I am righteous, holy, forgiven, cleansed in Christ alone. Not religion or church or faith, but in Christ. Because my trust is in him. God's inviting you to exchange your sin for his righteousness. And Scripture says, Jesus himself says, God so loved the world, he gave, Jesus said, me, his only son. Whoever believes in me, Jesus said, whoever believes in Jesus won't perish but have everlasting life. God didn't send his son into the world to condemn the world, Jesus said, but that through him the world might be saved. The world can be saved, like we talked about today, through Christ. That's it. So a follower of Jesus by the name of Paul, he says, if you just would confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart God raised him from the dead, then you will be saved. And so, oh man, I just am burdened for those of you who have yet to take that leap of faith and that risk and that sacrifice and that jump to say, God, you're all I have. Turning from evil doesn't mean that you get rid of your sin. Turning from evil means you acknowledge I'm living in evil and I need to give it to you, Jesus, because you're my only hope. And if you'd say, I haven't trusted the Lord at all for my salvation, and today I want to choose Jesus. But no one looking around, would you just raise your hand as high as you can just so I could just be thinking about you this week, praying for you. Say, today I choose Christ. Pastor, I want relationship with Jesus. I'm calling on his name. I want to be saved from my sins. I want to have relationship with God. I want God's Spirit dwelling within me. I want to live everlasting with him. I see your hand. God is blessing you, saving you, restoring you, giving you his grace and his mercy. And for every Christian here who says, yeah, I know Jesus, but I need some cleansing. I know Jesus, but I need some cleansing. That should be every one of us. So Lord Jesus, cleanse us. Thank you for forgiveness. Thank you for right standing before you. Thank you for your grace. Thank you for your mercy. Thank you for hope. Thank you, Jesus, for your life, your death, your resurrection. Thank you, Jesus, that you gave your life so I could have life. That you took my sin so I could be free of sin. Thank you for those who have, for the first time, passed from death to life, have put their trust in you today. Thank you for every brother and sister in Christ who needs cleansing today. God, may they leave this place not just with words, but with actions. Not just with thoughts, but with words. That they would express, that they would confess, that they would reach out for help, that they would depend upon one another as we depend on you. In Jesus' name.